Now, I know that pews are sometimes not very comfy, but I'm going to ask you to get comfy in your pew. Sit back and relax as much as you can. And I'd invite you to look up at the ceiling. It's pretty big. I wonder what you notice. Now, we're in the nave of the church. And I didn't know this, but nave comes from the Latin word meaning ship. It's kind of like a big upside down ship. That's where we are today. Now, the first disciples were fishermen. They knew all about boats. But Jesus invited them to follow him and leave what they were doing. He said, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Their mission has changed. No longer are they looking for fish to buy and sell in the marketplace. Now they are looking for people to take them from death to life. They are trading in their fishing boats to be in a lifeboat, to be in the business of rescuing people. When we gather here in this nave, in this church, in this big upside down boat, we remember that we too have been rescued, that we have been invited through Jesus' life, death, and resurrection into his boat, into his lifeboat, if you will. That is why we are here. We give thanks to God for all that he has done through Jesus for us. But we don't just stay snug in our boats. We are invited, like the first disciples, to go out and make, well, fish for men and make disciples of other people. So we have looked up. And now we are looking out. I wonder if you are going to think of somebody near you, not actually near you, but somebody who's close to you to share the good news of God's love, who would it be? If you left the church today and went to tell somebody of the good news of God's love, who would that person be? I wonder if someone comes to mind. I wonder if it's someone you know who's going through a really rough patch. Or maybe it's somebody who has all these kind of questions about God and what goes on in church and why do you go to church? Somebody who you might be open to hearing. Or perhaps it's somebody who long ago put the Christian faith to one side and thought, that's a load of rubbish. That's all about trying to be good. I'm not good. I don't want to be good. I don't want to be like those Christians. They didn't know that it was all about God's generous love for each of us. We don't have to earn it. It's a gift that we receive. Now, if you're thinking about somebody and you've actually got somebody in mind, that's great. But I wonder if most of you are thinking, oh no. Oh no, who would I tell? And how could I do that? I don't know enough. I don't have the confidence. Oh, I always get tongue-tied and I always say some really silly things. Well, if that's you, welcome to the club. You're an ordinary person. And you know what God does of ordinary people? Some pretty cool things. So we've looked up. We've looked out, and now I want you to look around you. Look at this beautiful church. So many people, when they come in, and they come in for the first time, say, wow, my jaw dropped as I came in. It's so beautiful here. But I wonder, if we had seen the raw materials for this church, all in a big pile, would we have been able to see what the church could have become, what this building could have been? If we'd seen just big piles of wood, would we have thought, oh, that could be a beautiful pulpit? or sculpted into this beautiful scene of Christ on the cross? Would we have thought that? If we'd seen the mounds of stone, would we think, oh, hey, that could be that pillar? Or the glass, hey, that could tell the story of Jesus' life. These raw materials had great potential. People saw that potential in them. We take it for granted now. But God sees us as raw materials. God can see our potential, even if we can't see it. He sees further and farther beyond what we can see. The Lord chose ordinary people. The disciples that we had at the front here, these fishermen, these ordinary blokes, because he could see what they would become, not because they were ready-made. God will give us too what we need to grow into something beautiful, and will give us the courage and the inspiration and the love we need to witness to others. All we need to do is look to Jesus. And when I visited the junior choir, we were talking about how do you follow well? And more importantly, well, how do you follow badly? What would bad following be like? Now, to follow well, you have to keep close. You can't be asleep. Someone said that. You have to keep your eyes open. You have to see where someone else is going. You can't try and lead the person if you're following. Maybe that's a challenge for some of us. And you can't decide on the destination whilst you're following. If you're intent on going in a different direction, then you're not going to follow where the person actually takes you. And in the same way, when we follow Jesus, we have to leave aside some of the other things, some of our ideas about life, some of our ideas about what we think things should turn out like. We have to leave our nets and follow. Follow to stay close, to hear his voice.